In the epistle, St. James says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And later on he says, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, dear faithful, I was thinking yesterday, do you know what the difference is between us and the saints? And as I reflected on this, I think that it comes down to one particular point. It is this, that the supernatural for the saint was as real to them as this world is to us. Though the saints might have been surrounded by material things and lived amongst riches and living in palaces with fancy clothing and everything else, though they might have been strolling down a busy city street or taking care of a large family or running an entire kingdom, as did St. Louis of France, despite it all, in spite of it all, they always saw the supernatural. The angels were as real to them as the men to whom they were speaking at the time. For St. Louis, while he was thinking of all the needs of his earthly kingdom, his mind was always upward to the kingdom of heaven. In the midst of a busy day at work, whatever it might have been, they never allowed their peace of soul to be ruffled or taken away, because they knew what the ultimate goal was and still is, that they are not working for earth, but for heaven. In all that happened to them, good things, bad things, they knew and they saw it with the eyes of their faith, the invisible hand of God working behind the scenes. If misfortunes came into the saint's life, well, they called to mind the supernatural principles of our faith. Look at the birds of the air, they would bring to mind, and the lilies of the field. Look how God takes care of them. Are not you much more than they are? And if good came into their life, well, then they used it as a means to show gratitude to Almighty God. In other words, their whole life was a supernatural life lived in the midst of material things. I guess you could say in our modern day speech, the saints ate, slept, and drank the supernatural. Their whole life revolved around it. They lived for God and for God alone. The little flower, St. Therese, one day, when she was younger, she heard how it was possible to hypnotize another and to take complete possession of that person's faculties. That under that hypnosis, that you could tell them to do something and they would do it. And she said in a prayer to our Lord, "How I should love for Jesus to hypnotize me. With what boundless joy would I yield myself to his will and do all that he asks." The saints' lives were marvels of faith because they were, in a sense, hypnotized by Jesus. Our Lord attracted their souls more than any other human being possibly could. You've seen in our modern day world how an artist or an athlete can be so obsessed with those things, their sport or their art, that they are ready and willing to risk everything to pursue it. They would give up their health. They would give up their money. They would give up their loved ones. And you, in fact, see it in the world of sports. And so it is that the saints were so in love with God and the supernatural that they allowed it to take complete possession over their souls. And they were ready, as you see in the case of especially the martyrs, to give up everything, to sacrifice everything, to endure anything for the God whom they loved. Their faith, and I think this is where it is so different from ours, their faith was more than just a catechism lesson to be learned and memorized for First Holy Communion and then forgotten about. Their faith was the guiding star of their entire life. What they learned for First Holy Communion directed them in everything else that they did. They saw everything through the lens of the faith. They were guided by it. They judged all things according to it and not according to what the standards of the world of that day were. This, I thought, this is the difference between the great saints and us. Now, we are composed, creatures composed of material bodies, but a spiritual soul. The body craves for material comforts and pleasures and wealth and things that are earthly. But the soul is not made happy, does not achieve peace, unless it possesses God and the things that pertain to God. St. Augustine said it best, "Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in Thee." And so there is in us, because we are matter and we are spirit, there is a continual battle going on within us. And do you know how the saints found their peace amidst that battle? They allowed the supernatural to take complete possession of their souls, to let the faith dictate their every action, their every thought, their every judgment, in good times and in bad. Yet we fall into sadness and discouragement and allow it to take over because we have not yet yielded, at least not completely, to God's call to live out the principles of our supernatural faith. Do you want the peace of the saints in your heart? All of you have sufferings right now, pains, sadness. Do you want the peace of the saints? I do, and I'm sure that you do as well. Well, know this, that you already have the source of this peace in your soul. It was given to you in baptism. The theological virtue of faith was planted in your soul at the moment those waters were poured on your skin. But that's not enough. Now we must nurture it, make it a living faith, an ever-growing faith by which all of our thoughts and our actions are guided. You might ask, though, how do I do this? We'll keep it very simple today. First of all, to achieve this deep and living faith, ask for it. We're in Rogation Week, after all. come to the processions, chant the litany of saints, and ask the whole heavenly court to share with you their living faith. Without me, you can do nothing, God tells us. He expects us to then pray for it. You have but to ask, and our Lord has promised, ask and you will receive. God is no liar. But we don't ask with this anxious sort of asking in which we feel that we must say in precise detail everything that we need, as if God did not already know. It's that calm, peaceful, confident prayer of a child going to his loving father and asking for what he needs. My Father, increase my faith. And the second thing to do to attain this deep faith is to surround yourself with spiritual things. Fill your mind with the spiritual. Read. Put away the magazines and pull out a spiritual book or listen to a Catholic audiobook. Remember that when we pray, we talk to God. When we read, God talks to us. And he gives to us, in almost every sentence, some spiritual maxim that he wants us to put into practice. Here and now. So, this is what you should remember, that in this life, we should be guided not by what the world will tell us to do, but by the principles of our faith. You know what you're going through now, your pains and the tears that you've shed. But your faith has the answer for whatever the problem is. That's what we need to be absorbed with, that holy faith. And do not view your problems through your tears. That just clouds your vision. And anyway, God says that he will take those tears and he will wipe them away in the next life. But put on the lens of the faith. That helps you to see everything so perfectly clearly. May the saints grant that we all love and live our holy faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.